Well, good morning again. Good to see everyone, especially like to welcome the children. Good to have you with us. And I was thinking we have a real variety of ages in here this morning. We have from 1 year old, perhaps, or younger, up to, I don't know whether it's 101 or 102, Joey is, I'm not sure, but anyway, I know it's over the 100, so talk about a variety of people to talk to. So because the children are here, I'm going to be doing some things a little bit different. I'm actually going to be doing an object lesson, so I'm going to bring the object out front here so that it's easily seen. And we'll get this set up first of all. There, that should work. Get my post standing up straight. Yeah, it might help if... Yeah, that's okay there. All right. So we're going to start off with a Christmas survey. And so I'm going to call up my assistant, my daughter Marion. Yeah, you can come on up. And she's going to be my assistant, and so we're going to start off with a survey. It has three questions, and Marion, who is a math major, is going to be figuring out percentages. And so how many people would you think are here this morning? 325, we'll say. So we're estimating at 325. And we expect everybody to be honest. And so here is question one. How many people remember what they got for Christmas 5 years ago? So if you could put your hand up. Okay, so let's see now. Maybe stand up. That might be easier to see. What you got for Christmas 5 years ago? Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, so let's say 10 people. So 10 divided by 350, or 325, sorry. I beg your pardon?
3%.
3%. So 3% of us remember what we got for Christmas 5 years ago. Okay, let's make it easier. How many people remember what they got for Christmas 3 years ago? And again, please stand if you remember what you got for Christmas 3 years ago. So we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 1 duck down on me, 12, 13, 14, 15, 6. Are you sure you remember? 16. Okay, let's go with 16. So what percentage would that give us?
5%.
5%. Of people remember what they got for Christmas 3 years ago. Okay, let's make it really easy. How many remember what you got for Christmas last year? Again, please stand up. Okay, so now I can't count everybody, so just take a look around. Okay, now you can sit down. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I found this survey on the weather station, and it's interesting because I had made this up, and I thought, I wonder if anybody's done this survey, and I went on, and that very day, the weather station had put this on, and here's what they had to say. They said that survey says that you will forget all about Christmas gifts by next year, and a new survey finds that most will forget all about their Christmas gifts by this time next year. A study found that about 53%, or slightly more than half of last year's presents, are already out of sight and out of mind. The most remembered gifts are things like clothing, a spa day, or better still, a vacation. A study also finds that your spouse is more likely to give you the best gifts, while your siblings is most likely to give you the worst. And you know, that is true. One time, Peter Norris gave my wife, Ruth, who is his sister, and he gave her a light bulb for Christmas. So that's just an example of a sibling giving a gift.
And it still works.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's because it's never been used. So, anyway, I guess the whole point is, though, is that a lot of things that we're given, very quickly, they're forgotten. Right? Like, it's hard to remember. And you know how sometimes you're given things and you wish you weren't even given them? Like, you think to yourself, like, what am I going to do with this? And so maybe you put it in a drawer and then, you know, when Aunt Bertha's coming to visit, you pull it out and put it on the shelf. Right, so that she can see that, hey, I've got this thing. But there's so many things that we get that, well, really, they don't have that much meaning. But what I would like to consider with you for a little while this morning is God's gift. Because that's really what Christmas is all about, is the gift of God. The gift that God has given to the world. And you know, when I started thinking about this, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And so I looked up that verse in a number of different versions. And in the King James Version, it says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And so, you know, sometimes people think of that word and they wonder, well, what does that really mean? Because this morning we're going to speak about the gift of God. And yet, in that version, it calls the gift the unspeakable gift, which is rather unusual. And so, in the New King James, they've changed it. And they've said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." So I guess that would mean that it's hard to find words to describe this gift that God has given to us, and yet we're going to do our best to try and describe the gift. If you go to the ESV, then it says is inexpressible gift. And then if you go to the ERV, which is one of my favorites because it's the easy-to-read version, it says, "Thanks be to God for the gift that is too wonderful to describe." And it's such a wonderful gift that sometimes we're just stuck for words in order to describe the gift that God has given to us. And then one last one, it says, "Thanks be to God for his unforgettable gift." And this is from the DNV. Now, what does that stand for? Dave Nicholson's version. I remember my father-in-law, one of his favorite sayings was, "Wonderful things in the Bible I see, most of them put there by you and by me." And so this morning, I've just put that in there because that's what I want to think of is God's gift, but I want to think of him as the unforgettable gift, because we see that with other gifts that they're pretty quickly forgotten, and yet here is a gift that is unforgettable. If you receive this gift, then you will never forget about it. In fact, there are people, and this is a proven fact, that there are people who, as they get older and they develop mind problems and they develop dementia, there are many things that they'll forget. They'll forget the names of their children. They can even forget their spouse. In fact, some of them can even forget their own name. But the one thing is, if they have received the gift that God has given, as soon as you start talking to them about that gift, all of a sudden their face will light up. And some of them will start to sing choruses that would remind them about the gift of God that they had learned as children or as young people. And they start singing them. And they've forgotten everything else. But it's impossible to forget the gift of God if you have received it. Now, that's my title, then, is these Macs don't do a very good job of showing stuff from PCs, but that he's supposed to be on the end, an unforgettable gift that God has given to us. This unforgettable gift is introduced to us by Paul as he writes to Romans. And in chapter 6, he says concerning the gift that the gift of God is eternal life. And so he tells us specifically what that gift is. And if you have God's gift, then you have eternal life. That's the gift. And it's in or by Christ Jesus our Lord. And so God gave us a gift, the gift of eternal life. But in order to have that gift is found in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not found anywhere else. That's why Christmas is so important. That's why we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. Because by his coming, God was able to give eternal life to you and I. And there was absolutely no other way that God could give eternal life. And you know, as I thought about God's gift, I thought, well, what are some of the unique things about the Lord Jesus? What are some of the unique things about this free gift that God has given to us? And one thing I thought of is that he was a promised gift. You know, on Christmas morning, many of you will be getting gifts. But I don't expect many of you will be getting a gift that somebody promised to give you. You know, you might be getting something that you asked for, and you might not be getting something that you asked for. You might be getting something that's a total surprise. You never even thought of it. But when God gave his gift, he gave us warning, or he let us know, I might be better to say, that this gift was coming. And many, many years before, he spoke through the prophets that were given to the nation of Israel. And time again, he made this promise that he was going to be giving a gift to the world. And this is just one of many that comes from the book of Isaiah. And he says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then the angels tell us in the New Testament that that means God is with us. And so this is just one of God's promises that there would be a gift given, that there would be a Savior who would come into the world. And that's rather unique, isn't it? And then the next thing is this gift was named by an angel. I wonder if there's anyone else in here that has been named by an angel. I wasn't. I guess my parents sort of collaborated on it. And they decided to call me David, for which I'm very thankful. Are you too? And there's a few of us in here. Very thankful for that name. But I don't think it was an angel spoke to my dad and said, thou shalt call his name David. Right? It wasn't done that way. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he was named by an angel. And we see here in this scripture where the angel spoke to Joseph. And he told him, he said, you shall call his name Jesus. You see, Joseph and Mary had absolutely no choice. They couldn't take, you know, the names of the year and go down the list and pick out, well, this is the most popular name. Let's pick this one. They had no choice. They had to call him Jesus because that name has meaning. It means that he will save his people from their sins. And there's no other name in all the world that's better known or better loved than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And it was a name that was given to him by an angel. The other thing, of course, that's unique about him is that he didn't have two earthly parents. He had an earthly mother, Mary, but his father was God himself. He was the Son of God. This gift that was given, God gave the very best. He gave his all, and he gave his one and only Son. And again, this comes from the angels in Luke chapter 1. And they said he will be called the Son of the Highest. And God will give him the throne of his father David. What a unique gift that God has given to us. He's given to us one who was promised. He's given to us one who was named by the angels. And he's given to us the very best. He's given to us his own son, his one and only son. And then the other thing that I love to think about the Lord Jesus is I don't know of anyone else that was born a king. You know, there's lots of princes that have been born into this world. But the Lord Jesus was born king, not prince, although he was the prince, the peace, but he's also the king of the Jews. And so here, it's actually in association with the wise men. And they said, who is he that has been born king of the Jews? And so that certainly makes him unique in my mind anyway, because I don't know anyone else who was born a king. And then the other thing that's unique about this gift that I thought of is that it's one gift, and yet it's for all. And again, the angels could say unto them, this is with the shepherds, and they told them to fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, we have people come into our store this time of year, and they'll have a list. And I love to see those lists coming. And they'll have a little pencil. And you know, there's Uncle Joe, and you'll see them check. But they don't, what they bought for Uncle Joe, they don't buy for Aunt Amy. Right? Like they each need a unique gift. Everybody doesn't get the same thing. But when it comes to God's gift, he gave one gift. And it's for all people, which means it's for you, it's for me, it's for the children. God has one gift, and he's given it to us all. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, as I looked at that particular statement, I thought, what a statement. You know, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I was just thinking of how unique the Lord Jesus' name is. Do you like to think about him? Like just to think about him. Like such a unique gift. Not much wonders people can't forget about him. When you think of who he was and is and ever shall be and what he has done for us. When he went to the cross and provided salvation for us, and people have received that gift, then they never forget. But, you know, I was thinking of this. It's so unique. It says that he's the Savior. And, of course, that would bring to our minds the name Jesus, because that's what it means. He will save his people from their sins. And then notice that he's referred to as Christ, which means the Anointed One. And then he's also referred to in this verse as being Lord. So he has all authority. But here's what I got thinking about with these names. You know, my middle name is Alden. I don't imagine there's too many Aldens in here. But my first name, as I've already told you, is David. So I'm David Alden Nicholson. But if somebody came in here and said, Alden David, then I'd say, well, that's unique. There's somebody else in here. And my second name is their first name, and my first name is their second name. That's unusual. But nobody calls me Alden David. They call me David Alden. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, it's most interesting because if you go to a lot of verses, he's named Jesus Christ. But if you go to other verses, he's called Christ Jesus. And you, no one has any problem knowing that it refers to the same person. Whether you say Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. What's your second name, Phil? Phil John. So if I call him up and say, hi, John Phil. Like he'd say, what are you talking about? I'm not John Phil. I'm Phil John. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, you can use both names. And in fact, here's his full title. Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful name. The name of the gift that God has given. Have you made him your Lord? You see, when you receive the gift that God has given, you're not only receiving the forgiveness of sins, but you're receiving the Lord Jesus and saying that you're going to make him Lord and master of your life. And so each one of us need to make him not only our Savior, we need to acknowledge him as our Lord. And so I'll recommend it this morning. If you have never, ever received the gift that God has given for your own, then we couldn't recommend anything better for this Christmas for you than to do that. You see, when you receive God's gift as your own, it says that as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become, or the right to become, the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. You know, when I was a child, I was blessed in many ways like these children here. Everyone didn't have the same blessings that I had. As a child, my parents were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had become believers approximately 1 year before I was born. The gospel came into a little farming community of poor folks. A gospel preacher came in, and he preached the gospel. And my uncle was saved first, and then he came up, walked across the fields to my dad's barn, and he preached to my dad. And my dad got saved, and then my mom got saved. It was a revival, let me tell you. And as a result of that, I had the same privileges as these children here have. And that is, I was taken to Sunday school as long as I can remember. And I had Sunday school teachers, and we're thankful for all the Sunday school teachers who are in here this morning. And they faithfully taught me the Word of God. They went over the stories of the Bible. Some of them I have never forgotten. I have a good memory for people's names and that type of thing. And I've never forgotten what I was taught. But most of all, they told me, look, David, you're a sinner. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'll tell you, I had no trouble agreeing with them that I was a sinner. But then they also told me that the Lord Jesus had died on the cross in order that I might have my sins forgiven. And so just as a little fellow, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And when I did that, it was like I was accepting God's gift, and I just said thank you. And I took his gift and I received eternal life. And my friend, if you have never accepted God's gift, then that's what we would recommend for this Christmas 2018, because if you accept him as your gift, then I will guarantee you, you will never forget it as long as you live. In fact, you will never forget it for eternity, because after those who have accepted Christ as Savior go from this life, the Bible is very clear that they go home to be with the Lord, which is far better. And so we would highly recommend God's gift, an unforgettable gift. Now, as I promised, since the children are here especially, I thought I would do a little object lesson. And this time, it's not so much an unforgettable gift, although I think that the little fellow that got this gift, he would never forget it. But it's a gift for a purpose. You know, it's nice when you get something that's useful, isn't it? You know, something you can wear, whatever, eat. But something that's useful. And it helps you to remember it. Well, one time there was this little boy, and I heard this story, and I remember a lot of the details. Some of them I forget, and so some of this is just, I do the fill-in, right? So it's a story, but, so it's based on a true story, but I'm using it. So there was this little boy, and he lived in a country that was rather poor. And he didn't have much. You know, I hope all you children appreciate what you've got. You know, living here in Canada, being able to go to school, even though you might not like it every day. You know, look at your feet and you see you have shoes. You've got a coat, warmth, family. You know, not all children are blessed that way. And this little boy, he didn't have those things. He ran around barefoot. And his clothes were in tatters. And he came from a country where sometimes they found their food in the dump. Like tremendous poverty. And there was a missionary that went to that country because he had love for the people. And he wanted to tell them about God's gift. Because he knew that that's really what they needed most of all, was to hear about God's salvation and his gift. And so he went to this country and he befriended this little boy. And he was the nicest little fellow. He would do anything for the missionary. But he had a problem. And the problem was, he told whoppers. He really knew how to lie. And this missionary thought, well, you know, I've got to teach him somehow that it's not right to lie, because you children all know that, right? We're not supposed to tell lies. We're not supposed to pretend we're something we're not, or tell people things that are not true. That's not correct. That's against God's word. And so the missionary thought, how am I going to teach him? And all of a sudden, he came up with a plan. And so he said, I'm going to teach him not to lie by giving him a gift. And so he got this gift and he wrapped it all up. And I'm going to ask this little girl right here to come up and unwrap the gift. And then we'll show everybody what it is. Now, you just go at it like you would at home. All right. And then pull the box open. What did he get? A hammer. And what else? What's that? And nails. Well, thank you very much. Now, how many people have ever got that for Christmas? Man, I think likely lots of people. The hammer, but the jar of nails, not so sure. So anyway, this little guy, like for him, it was exciting. You know, it because he didn't have much of anything. And the hammer was, this one's a little bit used, but his was brand new and nice and shiny, and he had all these shiny nails. And the missionary said to him, I'm going to give you this gift. But he says, there's something you have to do or else you can't have it. And he said, what it is this. He said, every time you tell a lie, what I want you to do is, he says, see that post over there? And this is my post. See that post over there? Every time you tell a lie, you have to hammer a nail into that post. So the little guy says, oh, sure, I'll do that. And so he took his hammer and nails and went running down the street with it. And it wasn't very long until he came across one of his friends. And his friend didn't have anything either. And so the friend looked at him, and the friend said to him, hey, where'd you get the hammer? Oh, he says, the missionary gave it to me. Is that a lie? People listening? Was that a lie? No! That wasn't a lie. So then the little guy says to him, why'd he give you that? Oh, he says, because I'm such a good boy. And he says, not only that, but you know what else? He gave me a brand new pair of shoes and a polka dot tie. And the little guy looked at him and said, well, where are the shoes? Oh, he says, I left them at home. I don't want to get them dirty. And then after his friend had gone, all of a sudden, this little guy started to feel not so good in here. Because he thought to himself, I just told some lies. And so he looked at his jar of nails. And he really didn't want to use them. Because he'd never had nice shiny nails like this before. But he thought, well, that missionary man is my friend. And I promised him. So he went over to the post. And it was a nice new post just like this one. And he reached into his jar, took out the nail. So what was the first lie? Oh, wait, now you, I got you already. Okay, there, okay, James. Well, that wasn't the first one, but that's good enough. Because he was lying about that, wasn't he? So he took his hammer. Oh, you got another one? Oh, that's it, the good boy one. In fact, you come on up then. I'll get you to help me. Okay, so he took the nail, and he got her started. Okay, now you, I'm going to hold it, but don't hit my fingers. You hammer like your dad. Ah, that's good enough. Okay, I'll just give her a couple more here. But when the little guy was doing them, he hammered that nail in so you couldn't really see it. Right? Like you had to really look to see it. But of course, that wasn't enough because he told more than one lie. So he had to take another one, and we're only going to do the two, but can you hammer? No? Are you sure? You want to learn how? What do you think? See if you nail like your dad, too. Okay, I'll hold this. You go ahead. Whoop. Whoop. Hey, you're getting the hang of it. Tippy top, tippy top. Oh, okay, thank you. Not bad. We'll give her in one. So anyway, he put all those nails into the post. And then he went on his way. Well, a day or so later, he met his friend, the missionary. The missionary says to him, I was looking at the post. And I noticed that there's some nails in it that weren't in there before. The little guy, he kind of hung his head down. And he says, I told some lies. Well, the missionary said, now I got another job for you to do. Now remember, he had nailed these nails in as hard as he could because he really didn't want people to see them. So he said, your next job is you have to take this hammer and pull them out. So the little guy went over and he had to pull the nails out. Now, if you've ever pulled out a nail with a claw hammer, you'll know that the wood doesn't look very nice when you're done, especially if it's been nailed so that this head is way in there. So anyway, he took the hammer over and he pulled the nails out one by one. And then the missionary said to him, now this is going to be hard to see for you folks in the crowd, but the missionary said to him, now take a look at those posts. He said, you see every place that the nail went in? It created a scar. Now he said, what I want you to do is you remove those scars. And the little guy looked at him and he said, I can't do that. The missionary says, you're right. And he says, every time you tell a lie, every time you sin, it's like you're creating a scar in your life. And there is absolutely no way that you can take those scars away yourself. You know, some people do, though. That's the amazing thing. You see, what some people will do is they'll say, well, You know, I know I've been doing some sinning and that type of thing, but here's what I'll do. I'll just take my life and kind of turn it around. Right? It's referred to as turning over a new leaf. And I'll try again. But the problem is that the scars are still back there. And it isn't very long before the other side becomes all scarred as well, because there's absolutely nothing that any of us can do in order to remove the scars that sin causes in our life. And yet the Bible is very clear that we have all sinned. Well, here's the good news. God sent his son. He's offering him as a gift. And he is the only one that can remove the scars that were created by sin. And when we accept the gift that God has given, then our sins are completely gone. In fact, the Bible tells us that they're gone as far as the east is from the west. And nobody has ever been or will ever be able to measure that. The east from the west. But that far, our sins have been put away from us. Never to be remembered again. And that is the only way, whether we're a child, whether you're older here this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of sin that you might have in your life, if you accept the gift of God, if you accept the one who was born into the world to save his people from their sins, the one who was called Emmanuel, God with us, the one who was the Son of God, the one who was the promised one, the one who was named by the angels. If you accept him as your Savior, then all those scars that have been created by sin will be completely removed. And when God looks down upon you, he will no longer see sin, but he will see someone who belongs to him. And the reason that they belong to him is because they have accepted his gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, John, I think we have time to sing one more. And then if you want to close in prayer when you're done. So thanks very much. And again, I want to, just as they're getting ready here, to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and hope you have a good time with your family. All the best.